Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Whew, I feel like my tennis shoes are on fire. I've been nonstop all week going. It's definitely springtime. I hope everybody's been enjoying the Feast of Weeks. It's been really good anticipating what we have ahead of us. You know, I just want to say right away, I'm starting to notice, though, after unleavened bread and entering into the Feast of Weeks, it literally reminds me of Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're not going there. But Deuteronomy chapter 8, of course, speaks about being in the wilderness. Why? Find out what's in our hearts. Find out what's going on with us. Find out what we lend in our ear to. That's a key word. That's a key word. Because we know it's Shema, connected to Shimeon. And we're going to be looking at his life. So while I speak, we can make our way to our Torah portion. We are going to be reading the verse out of chapter 42 of Bereshit, Genesis, verse 24. And I know, like Pastor said, he entered into 43 because that's where the Father had led him. And I was being challenged last week and coming into this week. For some reason, I wasn't let go to not look at Shimeon. Because there's a lot that we can relate to and draw from him. And especially what his name stands for, to hear, to be heard. Right? Each and every one of us is going to listen to something. And I can tell y'all right now, we're about to be on a roller coaster ride for a second. Brother Scott knows I got to tell him the inside scoop. Because I definitely wish I could have been at Bible study instead of dealing with what I had to deal with Wednesday. But thankfully, I'm not tone deaf to the Father's voice. Because if you are, it could get really bad really quick. On your own terms, because it's up to us if we want to make it better or worse. But we're going to look at some similarities in Shimeon's life. And, I always anticipate on the way, especially when it's my turn, where you're going to open up, how's it going to go, you're trying to see how the flow is just going to go. Sometimes it's just good to just jump right in and let him control the flow. But verse 24, it says, "And he turned himself away." Now, of course, this is in our Torah portion, speaking about Yosef. And as we dealt with last week, the translator, imitators, the interpreter, thank you. It was going to come there. With the interpreter, how Brother Scott broke that down and how Pastor had us look at the glory, that the weight that we give the Father, there's something that the Pastor said that really stood out to me. It's our obedience that shows if we truly give him the honor and the glory. Because we can't just be workers of the mouth, and we can't just hear without the expectation to do. So what the Father allows these challenges in our life to better us. It's like I said, y'all just bear with me. I'm still on two wheels right now. The Father's good, amen. It says, "And he turned himself away from them and wept, but came back to them and spoke to them, and he took Shimeon from them and bound him before their eyes." Now, of course, I know we're familiar with his name, but it's H8095 Shimon, and his hearing, to be heard. And it comes from Shamach, which is H8085. And it's the primitive root to hear intelligently, often with the implication of attention, obedience, causatively to tell. And it goes on to further dealing with attention. Every word that goes next deals with our attention. So Lord knows that if we give our attention to the wrong spirit, we could find ourselves locked up. We could find ourselves in a whole mess of things if we don't hear, report, and obey. And that's what the ancient Hebrew deals with. The ayin, the mem, and the shin. And it's a careful hearing of someone or something, as well as responding appropriately in obedience or action. To hear as well as to respond to what is heard. So, I got the inside scoop on what was spoken about Wednesday. Brother Scott caught me up, gave me the details. My wife, when she came home, shared her details and what she shared and all the different things. And the way she was flowing and going, I was like, girl, you got Friday night. She's like, that's all right, you got it. But no, what was incredible is whenever I talked to Brother Scott about it, I said, brother, well, that's a timely word of provision and the way that he laid it out and the different parts of it, because it spoke about the hunter. It spoke about snares. It spoke about traps. There's a negative connotation and a positive connotation to it. And then it started making me realize, because we know that Shimeon also deals with anger, and that it could be easy for us, if we're not listening correctly, not being captivated by him, to end up in a snare or a trap. And that was kind of laid out before me whenever Wednesday took place. So we're working overtime, and we're down a lane, and this is all within the importance of being able to listen to that small, still voice. Even whenever you're being overworked, you're hot and sweaty, you just got finished having to communicate loudly to another person because of all the sound around you, there's a lot of things that can spark up anger quickly going on in the moment. We're down a lane, we're picking up trash, loading the trucks up, doing whatever we can do to help catch up. There was a basketball goal in the service part of the lane that was in the way. And there was a vehicle that wanted to pass. Now this is all going to tie into everything. But literally, people are watching whenever you don't think they're watching. I moved the basketball goal so the man could pass. I was determined to move it back. And when I say that basketball goal was probably rated for a Category 5 hurricane because it had so much sand in it, I could barely move it. I thought, you want to talk about trying to breathe and huff and puff and being sweaty and hot. Starting to get a little agitated because, you know, you're getting your behind kicked by a basketball goal. And so I'm determined to move it. And then I got one of the coworkers hollering from the top, don't worry about it. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. I said, I moved these people's basketball goal. I have to move it back. That's courtesy. I got to do it. Just be patient with me, all right? Well, lo and behold, we had someone watching. One of the owners of the basketball goal. And so after that, didn't think nothing of it. Making my way to the truck. I want to get a little AC. And I'm frustrated. I sit down, toss my water bottle to the side. I'm talking to myself, mumbling, grumbling. Like, oh. And all of a sudden, someone comes walking up to the truck. You having a bad day? I was like, a little bit, but I'll be all right. Well, I don't know what to tell you. I was like, okay, that's all right. You don't have to tell me nothing. I'll be fine. Appreciate it. Well, I thought I might have been having a bad day, but it was about to get a little bit more interesting. So we're going down the lane a little bit more. And I'm looking back at the direction where we were just last at. And now we have two people inspecting it. Like it's a UFO. Looking at it, looking up and down at it, checking it out, checking underneath here, checking that. I said, I don't like where this is going. So I pulled up the truck. I said, hey, is it in a good spot? Is everything all right? I want to make sure everything's good. Because if anything wasn't, I was going to correct it. No, everything's fine. You good. You good. Well, that was a lie. Pulled up the lane. We went to continue down the lane. All of a sudden, a white car comes screeching. Stops. Someone's stomping out. Ran past Mr. Eric. Mr. Eric, hey, everything all right? That guy was like, it's not about to be. I turned. I'm like, what? And all of a sudden, I get hit with, who cussed at my daughter? No one. Who cussed at my daughter? I was like, bud, nobody cussed at your daughter. I don't know what's going on. Because this guy looked like he was ready to go. He thought something in his mind. And I said, bud, nobody cussed at your daughter. I said, you don't have to come over here hollering. I said, let's get to the bottom of what's going on. You know, in reality, there was something in me rising up. I'm going to just call it the old man. Because instinctively, I was like, okay, it's time. You know, like I gotta defend myself. I got to defend the guys. I don't know if this dude's got a weapon. But, you know, I was watching his eyes closely. He was getting closer. And he's like, who cussed at my daughter? And I'm like, he's not in his right mind right now. He's not listening. And I could see his eyes real dilated. I'm like, oh, okay. I said, hey, bro, nobody cussed at your daughter. I said, you live down there by the basketball goal? He's like, yeah, that's my daughter's basketball goal. I was like, okay. Like, nobody would. I said, who in their right mind would cuss out a little girl, man? I said, let's take a minute and think. I said, me and the guy up there, we were speaking to each other loud. I said, there was no cuss words. I said, maybe something like that caused you or someone to think that. He's like, oh, all right, bro. But that's my daughter. I was like, okay. I was like, hey, man, that's all right. I think you got a lot going on right now. And I said, I think you should just go and have a good day. You know, and what's crazy is because in that moment, just a few steps, instinctively, I thought I was going to have to do something. Instinctively, like fleshly, I thought I was just going to have to just defuse the situation. But in that small, still voice, right before he got real close, all I heard was de-escalate. De-escalate. And I could tell you, I wouldn't be standing here today if I wouldn't have. I'd probably be in prison because I was in a parish uniform and that's what they were looking for. They were looking for this right here. And I've had a long track record of letting what enters into my ear cause me to get angry and it caused me to react to that anger. And that almost came up to the surface. And this entire 2 weeks, I've been looking at Shimeon's life. But it doesn't end there. It didn't end there. The day goes on. I thought it was over with. I thought whatever madness was there is done. And I get a phone call from my boss, 5:30. I said, hey, boss. He said, you know why I'm calling? I said, is there anything to do with a basketball goal? He's like, yeah, the $1,000 basketball goal that you ran into with your dump truck. I said, the $1,000 basketball goal that I ran into in my dump truck. He said, yeah, the same one that Mr. Stanley, the safety director, went and took a picture of and there's absolutely nothing wrong with. That same one right there. I said, well, I'm glad. Because the thing is, if we're willing to endure whenever any type of lies come upon us, whenever any type of slandering comes upon us, and we act in the right character, the Father's going to be there for you every time. You just got to be willing to listen. You just got to be willing to endure, to be captivated by Him. And then, of course, the scenario kept spiraling. By 6 o'clock, we got called off the road because our lives apparently were being threatened. And had to do a police report. I had to go through the whole spiel while this was happening Wednesday. And that was a snare for me. That's a familiar type of situation that, I mean, it's weird to say it, but I used to thrive off of because I was broken. I was lost. Just used to look for that because it made me feel alive. Well, I'm glad I've been feeling more alive in the spirit dealing with them days. Them days are behind me. But what's incredible is Brother Scott had said it last Friday. He made a little particular quote that I once made before that. I don't know where it came from. It just came. But you really find out who's got your back when the smell of the fan changes because of what hit it. I found out that day. The best person, well, the best one to have your back is Almighty Jehovah. Because He'll orchestrate the whole thing in your favor. The whole thing. Especially, it's real nice when you got administration reaching out and saying, we're going to take care of it. Don't worry about nothing. Because they called the parish president, the police department, wanted to charge me with criminal destruction charges. I had to do a whole report, everything. The whole time, cool as a cucumber, but confused. But I knew that I could trust in the Father because of this, because of listening, because of what he had put in my heart to look at and allow to minister. But we're looking at the life of Shimon. And I guess I really had to get that out, because it's just incredible how, if you allow yourself to be guided by him, to be captivated by him, you end up on top every time. But I know we're familiar with Simeon. He's the second born of Leah, and she, of course, named him what she named him, because she was heard. And then as I was looking at different sources of information about Simeon, he more than likely would have had a special anointing whenever it came to hearing. But that's the very area that he would have been also attacked. And a lot of times people that spend more time listening can be easily influenced by what you give your ear to. And I think it makes all the sense in the world why the Father, through the set-apart Spirit, had Yosef captivate Simeon out of all the brothers. Because he's probably a really strong, hot-headed individual. I mean, we remember what happened in Shechem and all the things that took place there. Well, we know he was one of the brothers that plotted against Yosef. He was held captive. And the prophecy that of Yaakov over him and Levi really emphasizes on their characteristics, which is Genesis 49, 5 through 7. Shimeon and Levi are brothers. Their weapons are implements of violence. Let my being not enter their counsel. Let my esteem, kavod, not be united to their assembly, because they killed a man in their displeasure, and they lamed an ox in pleasure. Cursed be their displeasure, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I divide them into Yaakov and scatter them into Israel. And we know that the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of Elohim. There's a lot of times where we allow what we hear or what we experience enter into us, and we think that we got it figured out. We think that we're going to handle that situation. We think we're going to take things into our own hands. I'm going to say it like that. 10 times out of 10, it goes wrong every time when we do that. But thankfully, the Father puts us in positions to where we have no choice but to listen to his voice. But his descendants, they were high in number, but brought low through the wilderness. Remember, we're looking at the scope and the longevity of Shimeon's life. Became yoked with Judah, who are we surrounding ourselves with? And I put mimickers or mockers. Because there's a key reason. I'm going to go ahead and connect, sister, because this iPad's ready to take a nap. I got 8% left on it. There's just, oh my goodness. Y'all, please bear with me. I thought I had everything lined up. That's all right. We're just going to roll with it. All right. We're having some technical difficulties. But as I'm working my way to the destination, something that I wanted us to visually see is the providential care of the Father on how he operates whenever he places us in certain positions. If we do struggle like Simeon with anger, with our eyes, with our ears, we're very easily influenced by our surroundings. He'll purposely put us surrounded by a better influence, if that's the case. And I feel like that's been the case in my life, because I'm going to be completely honest. Like I said, I struggled greatly with anger and all the different things that represents Simeon's attitude. And he lined me up in a place where his praise is overflowing. You want to come up and help me real quick? The iPad updated. I think they like to update at least every 2 to 3 months, and they rearrange stuff on you. And when you're on two wheels, this makes you feel like you're on one wheel right now. I am looking for the allow access to airdrop this. It took you 2 seconds. Hallelujah for our wives. Come on. Oh, thank you. Except. All right. Thank y'all for bearing with me. There's only 24 hours in each day, but it felt like 48 per day this week. So so I just wanted that visualization in what I was saying, because the fact is, this is a providential care of the Father. He implemented this whenever they were being distributed their portions on purpose, because he has a love for Simeon. He has a love for all his creation. So he's going to make sure that they're going to be placed properly in a position around people that literally represent praise, that literally the Messiah came from that tribe and line. And we're seeing an unfolding take place in this Torah portion where he rises up to the occasion and shows his worthiness and his boldness and his humility whenever he's dealing with the situation at hand. And it's a beautiful thing. And I think it's pretty unique, the contrast that we're beginning to see whenever we consider Shimeon's position currently and Yehuda being the one that's surrounding the entire situation that he's facing in. I think that it's absolutely incredible. And I was hoping that was a good illustration for everyone to see it in that way, because we're looking at the history of Shimeon and all the different things that tie in. And it should affect us as individuals on a deeper level, because if anyone can say that they're not affected by anything and don't have moments of heightened anger, moments of whatever else you may allow to enter in, then it's just deceiving ourselves. We have to be willing to accept and realize we need to be continually surrounded by the one that the Father put to surround us in. And just to give him all the praise and the honor and the glory. Gotta love that. 2 minutes of trouble trying to get that set up was just for that one picture. I love it. I love it. Hallelujah. Huh? Oh, thank you. Thank you. Because the iPad will be dead if I don't. Thank you. There we go. All right. And so, continuing down this track line of history, Simeon's descendants formed a distinct tribe within the nation of Israel. His tribe numbered 59,300 able-bodied men, which we can find in Numbers. After, and then there's also another place that, there's another event that took place that I'm sure we're familiar with. It's after the scandal of Zimri, which was in Numbers 25. Remember whenever the Moabites enticed the children of Israel because the sovereign wanted to find a way to get to them. And of course, Balaam said the only way that they can bring anything upon themselves is by themselves. And of course, the one that is head over the tribe of Shimeon was greatly influenced by what he heard. Because whenever we look at the names being listed, it means music. It literally paints a picture of an environment. They probably had the barbecue going, had the smell of the food coming this way, starting to distract their senses, and all of a sudden music starts playing, and then all of a sudden they're easily influenced to allow just a little leaven. But then of course we know Pinchas rose up, someone zealous after the Father, and corrected the situation. Because the reality is, We know that we can be angry, but to sin not. Because I can tell you, in that moment when I addressed the individual in the situation that I was faced with this week, I was angry. I was fuming. I was fuming. Already leading up to it. Because, I mean, fuming rhymes with human. And we know that we have a first instinct. We got to let that first instinct take the back seat and just be quiet. And just allow the Father to operate within us. Because, you know, the realization set more in the next day for me. Is that if I would have took that action, the level of shame, how I would have misrepresented the Father, would have misrepresented Faith Temple Ministries, my brothers and sisters, I would have dealt with a lot of extra and then bring it upon others. And on top of that, if I'm in prison, what good am I there? So I just think it's important to realize that I genuinely believe it's, and I'm sure it's everyone, that as we're going through the Feast of Weeks, there's a heightened sense of what it is that we truly still kind of have struggled with. It's going to be brought out. Mm-hmm. And it's going to have to be dealt with. But the population fell of Simeon's tribe by 24,000. His tribe was one of the less significant tribes, as it is only mentioned when the collective tribes go to war. Despite being ranked among the 10 tribes formed the northern kingdom of Israel, it was inside of Judah. And it wasn't part of the kingdom, but instead it was part of the kingdom of Judah instead, which I said earlier is the providential care of the Father. And this is different things that I was looking at throughout the week, trying to absorb as much information, as much history, as much surrounding Simeon. Because we're familiar with Shema. Let's get back to the text. Psalms 37, please. So I found this interesting because all these scriptures are prior to the events that I was, you know, that I personally was dealing with. And I find this absolutely encouraging because originally I was only pulling two verses from this Psalms. But whenever you look at the totality of it, whenever you look at the whole thing, you realize the providential care of the Father if you're willing to not respond to whatever type of persecution you may be facing. Because the reality is, when I got home, instantly prayed for them. Mm-hmm. Because I know what it's like. Mm-hmm. I know what it's like not to have control over yourself. I know what it's like to be on them type of drugs. Because as I was looking in their eyes, I was reminded of what I used to be. As I was looking in their eyes, I could see the person trapped inside that situation, inside their body. It's not good. I wasn't lobbing off talking about it, and a couple of guys did, because that's the natural instinct. You want to call out their situation, call out their situation. I don't know what caused them to get there. But I started praying over them that whatever stronghold is over them, that it be completely removed, and not only them, but then a big stirring happens within Plaquemines Parish to where the drug situation is completely eradicated. I turned that anger into a Pincus moment because I want to take that spear right into the enemy's plans whenever it comes to the drug industry and what's affecting our parish. Do we not pray for our parish? Do we not pray for eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to know? We have to diligently prayed that those strongholds are removed so that way they have even more of an opportunity to be able to receive what it is that the Father has. So whenever the Psalm speaks about the unrighteous, whenever it speaks about the opposition, the entire time I had in mind the influences, the unclean spirits, the leader of it all, Hasatan, whenever it comes to dealing with it and those that are under his influence. It says, do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious of the workers of unrighteousness. For they soon wither like grass and fade like green plants. Trust in Jehovah and do good. Dwell in the earth and feed on steadfastness. And delight yourself in Jehovah and let him give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to Jehovah and trust in him. And he does it. And he shall bring forth your righteousness as light, and your right ruling as midday. He's going to make it more than clear in whatever situation you may face that you are standing on righteousness. But rest in Jehovah and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his ways, because of the man doing wicked devices. Abstain from displeasure and forsake wrath. Do not fret also to do evil, for evildoers are cut off. But those who wait on Jehovah, they shall inherit the earth. Yet a little while, and the wrong is no more. And you shall look on his place, but it is not. But the meek ones shall inherit the earth and delight themselves in plenty of peace. The wrong plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him. What does Jehovah do? Laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. And ultimately, that was my reality, because I spared some details, and I definitely kept the situation as PG as possible when I described it. But I was getting calls, and the next day when I had to do an extra report, I was being told a lot of different things. And it seemed like they were pretty much gnashing their teeth, ready to chew Robert up. But then by the end of it, I was told that they did say, you know what, we want to take it easy on Robert. We'll take monthly installments for the basketball goal. I was like, no, that's okay. But thankfully, we got a good director that took care of all that. But the wrong has drowned the sword. The wrong, this is Het, verse 14, the wrong have drawn the sword and have bent their bow to cause the poor and needy to fall, to slay those who walk straightly. Their sword does enter into their own heart, and their bows are broken. Better is the little of the righteous one than the riches of many wrongdoers. For the arms of the wrongdoers are broken, but Jehovah sustains the righteous. Jehovah knows the days of the perfect, and their inheritance is forever. They are not ashamed of evil in the days of scarcity of food. They are satisfied. And you know, whenever I read that verse, it made me remember about the brothers. Because in that verse, it spoke about Jehovah knows the days of the perfect. Now, I'm not to sound judgmental towards the brothers, but as we look into their life, do we think they seem perfect? No. Are there days where we think we're not perfect? Yeah. Because we reflect upon what it is that we're dealing with. But instead, what the Father does for his righteous ones, the ones that are willing to lend their ear to him, to walk in him, he sees us in those moments as perfect. He sees us in those moments, and he considers that for us to be in a position to be able to receive what we need during the scarcity of food. I mean, we also think about what was said with Amos chapter 8, that there was going to be a scarcity of the word of Elohim. But look at where we're at, because we're deciding to follow his path, listen to what he has, walk in his righteousness. We're not lacking any word of Elohim here. But the wrongdoers shall perish, and the enemies of Jehovah, like the splendor of the meadows, they vanish. Like smoke, they vanish away. The wrongdoer is borrowing and does not repay, but the righteous one shows favor and gives. For his blessed ones inherit the earth, but those cursed by him are cut off. The steps of man are ordered by Jehovah, and he delights in his way. Though he falls, he is not cast down, for Jehovah is supporting his hand. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed begging for bread. All day long he is showing favor and lending, and his seed is for a blessing. Turn away from evil, and do good, and dwell forever. For Jehovah loves right ruling and does not forsake his lovingly committed ones. They shall be guarded forever. But the seed of the wrongdoers is cut off. The righteous shall inherit the earth and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, his tongue talks of right ruling. The Torah of his Elohim is in his heart. His steps do not slide. The wrong one is watching for the righteousness and seeking to slay him. Yehovah does not leave him in his hand or let him be declared wrong when he is judged. And I'll leave the rest for you to read if you want. It's only down to verse 40. But the reason I wanted to stop there is because the reality of our situations, and each and every one has faced it, we've been wrongly accused of something one way or another. But the Father doesn't leave us in that situation. We're always going to be in his providential care and protection, no matter how it may look like. And sometimes it may be a season of feeling like you're being completely captivated, maybe a season of being completely pressed to find out what you still have in you, so that way we can deal with it properly. Because we want to be ready and be wrung out. We want to be ready and wrung out continually, so that way whenever we receive what we're anticipating on day 50, Shavuot, Pentecost, there's more healing, more power there. And we know that he's good to us every single day. But he has these beautiful appointments to magnify that, so that way we can get more benefits from it. But I had different scriptures laid out here dealing with anger, because that was part of it. That was something that he laid heavily on my heart, and thankfully in a timely manner. But he who is, this is Proverbs 14:29. He who is patient has great understanding, but he who is short of spirit exalts folly. And I was meditating on that because the reality is, if we allow anger to enter in, we could be very short of a lot of things. But we have to be able to put ourselves in other people's shoes, in other people's positions. And sometimes it's much better whenever you realize that you used to be just like that person. But I already had quoted James 1:20. These are all different scriptures that I was looking at. I was being led to about anger. And I said James chapter 1:20, if you're taking notes. But I had mentioned the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of Elohim. Mm-hmm. And then of course Ephesians 4:26, be wroth, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your rage. Because that's definitely something I used to partake in. That's something I would carry. I would carry it on so long that I would feel like it would eat me until I went and do something about it. But thankfully, I was able to release it to the Father and pray diligently for them afterwards. And like I told Brother Scott earlier today, whenever he was checking up on me, I said, I'm doing all right, brother. Today's a very blessed day. I received a lunch, an incredible lunch. Okay, Eddie and I come. It's been so nonstop, high-paced this week, I haven't had a single lunch. And you kind of feel it when you're working a lot. You get a little lightheaded and whatnot. I was actually feeling a little lightheaded then, and whenever y'all brought that, it was such a blessing. I was very thankful, very, very thankful for that. But the last verse dealing with anger, Proverbs 15:1, and there's plenty more. But a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up displeasure. Now, I know at the moment, whenever that dude was coming my way, and I raised my voice up, matched his situation so I can kind of like get us on some kind of level playing field, slowly but surely de-escalate, because you soften your tone. You help them realize it's not what they think it is, or whatever's going on in their mind. But let's look the words at our Master in regarding on this topic. In Matthew chapter 5, very familiar text. Because the Greek equivalent of shamach, to hear, is akouh, which is G191. And we can see it mentioned in Matthew chapter 5. Yeshua says, verse 21, sorry. You heard, Ahuo, that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that whoever is wroth with his brother without a cause shall be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Racha, shall be liable to the Sanhedrin. But whoever says, you fool, shall be liable to the fire of Gehenna. If then you bring your gift to the slaughter place and there you remember that your brother holds whatever against you, leave your gift there before the slaughter place and go. First make peace with your brother and then come offer your gift. Before we go to the next verse, you know, I was meditating on that and I was reflecting and praying that if I've ever, in any way, shape, or form, ever offended any of you at all, I would hope that y'all please would come to me. Because I really looked at that and there's a real deep significance on if there's any bitterness between any of us, we're not just hindering our own growth, but as a unit, as a body, that's hindering that growth. Because the Father's massive providential care for Simeon is also for the benefit of not just Simeon, but for the entire tribe, because he wants everyone together. But be well-minded. Be well-minded with your opponent promptly while you are on the way with him. Lest your opponent deliver you to the judge and the judge to the officer and you be thrown into prison. I was thinking, well, I'm glad everything took place promptly, because there was, you know, as the story goes on, there's always more to it. There's always more detail. But I was informed one of the officers was entertaining it. One of the officers was leaning towards their side and kind of, for some reason, thinking that they needed some kind of, retribution or accommodation. And so that's, Mr. Stanley told me, he goes, Robert, I love Mr. Stanley. That's our safety director, Stanley Johnson, incredible safety director. He said, Robert, instantly, I pulled him to the side. I said, not my guy. Let me tell you something. He's nothing what they're saying that he is. Well, he was on the tee, ready, defending. But that's a product of character. That's a product of how we approach others. Because when I see him, I'm always light, smiles, shaking his hand, asking how he's doing. And, you know, I even brought up to him that, you know, I care about them people. I care about what they're going through. And I prayed for him. And he said, man, me too. As soon as I got home, I prayed for them and you. I was like, thank you. I was like, hallelujah. I'll take it. It's an incredible process. And I thought it was interesting because all this was laid out right here before everything happened and took place. And I'm thankful that the Father deals with us this way. It says, truly I say to you, you shall by no means get out of there until you have paid the last penny. That basketball goal got expensive. So I might have been there a little bit. I'm going to stop. I can't help but make the funnies. So we're just going to keep moving. But of course, we know that it also goes into lust, and that deals with hearing. And we know that it deals with the eyes, because, you know, he captivated Simeon before their eyes. And that deals with eyeing. And, you know, whenever we look at the ancient Hebrew of eyeing, it talks about how the eyes are the entrance to the heart. It reflects of what a person's heart is, because you asphyxiate your eyes on what's going on in here. And that can always be worked on, because he's dealing with our sensories. If we're easily influenced, it's not a bad thing, but just be influenced by the right thing. Right. So, towards the latter of this, of course, I was reminded of the other Simeon, Kepha, Peter, that Simeon, that Simon. And it reminded me of the fact that we got to be very careful in moments not to cut people's ears off. Because if we're hearing and doing, we got to make sure we're being influenced by the right voice. And it reminded me of whenever we were taught about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There's good in there. You think is good, but it still leads to evil. And then that's in Luke 22. verse 47 to 53. And I have both accounts, but we'll read it to refamiliarize ourselves with it in the way that his behavior greatly resembles that of the same behavior and actions of the Shimeon that we're looking at currently now. And I thought it was interesting that Shimeon, the tribe, was integrated into the tribe of Yehuda. And then we have this Yehudaean, Shimeon, with the same attitude and character. Or maybe of lesser extent, I don't know. And while he was, this is verse 47, and while he was still speaking, see, a crowd. And he who was called Yehuda, one of the 12, was going before them and came near to Yeshua to kiss him. And Yeshua said to him, Yehuda, do you deliver up the son of Adam with a kiss? And those around him, seeing what was about to take place, said to him, Master, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Yeshua answering said, Allow it this far. And touching his ear was, and he healed him. And Yeshua said to those who had come against him, the chief priests and the captains of the set apart place and the elders, Have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs? While I was with you daily in the set apart place, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and authority of darkness. And of course, we don't have to go there, but we know in John chapter 18 that there's a more detailed description. I feel like Brother John loves to give all the details and names because he just straight up said, who cut the ear off? He said it was Simon. He said it was Peter Kepha. He just straight up put it out there. But I'll never forget whenever we were taught about the significance of the one's ear who he cut off and didn't realize the level of trouble that he put himself in, the Malach, the righteous one, a noble one, someone that had high status. And what it was, Yeshua said at the end of it all, bring no harm upon them, least no harm come upon them. He corrected, he set straight the ear, he did not deny the hearing. So we have to hear him and be careful on how we conduct ourselves. And so what I find interesting is, we don't have to go there, but I'm going to encourage you because I'm going to speak about it because this is a chapter that I'm very familiar with. It's Acts chapter 10. And we could read the whole chapter, but instead we're going to flow through it because I was reminded of this chapter at 1:51 a.m. this morning. I told Brother Scott, I woke up at 1:51 a.m. this morning thinking I was late. I always have this thing. The first thing I do when I open my eyes, I look to the window. If I can see just a little sliver of light coming through. If I see that, then it's just, gotta go. I didn't see it, but for some reason in my mind, I thought I was late. So it was set apart time. Maybe I was supposed to wake up at 1:50 a.m. to spend time with the Father. But he put it in my spirit about this chapter in Acts, about the fact that Peter, Kepha, Simon, Shimeon was given that beautiful opportunity to give hearing to the Gentiles, to give hearing to the nations, this open door that took place because of a trance, a vision that challenged him greatly with the animals coming down, to go speak to Cornelius, a Roman centurion that kept what? The Torah. The only thing that he was missing was the good news. And you know, I'll never forget the time because it was such a captivating and fascinating thing whenever we first learned about the Levitical food laws, the Father's food laws that he has for us. I want to believe that it was Leviticus chapter 11. And this was usually a go-to spot for people when I was speaking to them about it. It's okay, we can eat whatever we want. You know, because the blanket, the curtain came down from the heavenlies, and it was filled with all kinds of beasts, creatures, all kinds of things. He said, Kepha, rise up and eat. I'm sorry, I just love the humor of the Father because you got to know that's challenging him to the core. He It's like, I've never eaten anything unclean or common. Kepha, rise up and eat. And it shook him. It genuinely says there, if you go and read, that he was distressed over this. But then, of course, as things unfold, and the messenger sent from Cornelius come and speak and tell him what's going on, oh, this is great. Then we are going to read something from it, because I'm being reminded. Because remember, that connection word to hear is in here. Okay, let's start with verse 22. So I already had it, gave the Rob definition of the other verses. It says, and they said, Cornelius, the captain, a righteous man and one who fears Elohim and well spoken of the entire nation of the Yehudim, was instructed by a set apart messenger to send for you to his house and to hear words from you. So inviting them in, he housed them, and on the next day, Kepha went away with them, and some brothers from Jaffa with him. And the following day, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius was waiting for them, having called together relatives and close friends. And it came to be that when Kepha entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and bowed before him. But Kepha raised him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. And talking with him, he went in and found many who had come together. And he said to them, you know that a Yehudi man is not allowed to associate with or go in one of another race. But Elohim has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. And I remember there were so many discussions around that. Because I was, and I'm not going to, always out of respect, I don't say names. But at one point, I was invited in to an individual's house, and they had food. And you know, y'all know I love food. I love food. And this is fresh. This is all fresh learning. But whenever your heart and your ears is ready to receive what it is that the Father has for you, it helps your eyes. Because a lot of times we eat with our eyes. I know I do. I got three stomachs. One, two, three. So the reality is, when we were in there, and they had everything lined up. And I don't ever want to be rude, ever. And this is someone that I was actually speaking to about this. So it might have been a snare, but that's okay. I respectfully ate rice and hot sauce. Apparently it wasn't, you know, nice, but I walked up, I was ready to fix my plate. I'm like, okay, ham. Okay, that's all right, I'll pass it on. I'm looking for the chicken. There's no chicken. I was like, all right, so they got the ham. They got some potatoes with bacon in it. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna keep moving. Oh, green beans. I could put green beans on rice. But they had some pink beans in there too. It was ham. So I was like, we got rice, hot sauce. All right, thank y'all. Sit down. They are staring at me. That's all you want? And I felt it. My heart did sink because I was like, I don't want to offend you. I don't. Because you invited me into your home. You know, you know, this is out of the kindness of your heart. Well, why don't you? I was like, that's an open door. Let's look at it. And you know, and we look. And this is one of the areas that got brought up. And all I did politely say, because I'm not trying to cut no one's ear off. I'm not trying to act out of anger. I said, what? In all honesty, whenever you look at the context of what's taking place in Acts chapter 10, because that's what was brought up, and I just so happened a few days ago was looking at that. I think this was during a time we were kind of still like looking at a couple of 119 ministry stuff, and they had something set up to where, because they always had that layout, like what to, I call it the what to expect layout whenever you get questioned on things. And then we were also being taught that too. So everything was lining up perfectly for that moment. And I respectfully said, he was speaking about the people, not the animals. Because the Father will never go against his own words. He's never going to contradict anything. He changes not. He is the same. yesterday, today, and forever.
Hallelujah.
And but no, it was a good, interesting conversation. But I could tell you, I wish I had a camera with me, because I've never had such a look of concern. Because everybody knows how I eat, so it's interesting the positions that we're going to get put in on certain tests. Where were we? 29? Yes. That is why I came without hesitation when I was sent for. So I asked, why haven't you sent for me? And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And see, a man stood before me in shining garments and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your kind deeds were remembered before Elohim. Now send to Yafo and call Shimeon here, who is called Kepha. He is staying in the house of Shimeon, a leather tanner by the sea. When he comes, he shall speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. And now we are all present before Elohim to hear all that you have been commanded by Elohim. If y'all don't mind, I'm going to finish this out, because the way it ends is, it's a beautiful thing. This is the end of our scripture too. It says, verse 34, and opening his mouth, Kepha said, truly I see that Elohim shows no partiality, but in every nation, he who fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. He sent the word to the children of Israel, bringing the good news. Peace through Yeshua Messiah, he is master of all. You know what word came to be throughout all of Yehuda, beginning from Galil after the immersion which Yochanan proclaimed. How Elohim did anoint Yeshua of Nazareth with the set-apart spirit and with power, who went out doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For Elohim was with him. And we are witnesses of all he did, both in the country of the Yehudim and in Yerushalayim, whom they even killed by hanging on a timber. Elohim raised up this one on the third day and let him be seen, not to all people, but to witnesses, those having been chosen before Elohim, to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead, and he commanded us to proclaim to the people and to witness that he is who was appointed by Elohim to be judge of the living and the dead. To this one, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone believing in him does receive forgiveness of sins. And this is why I wanted to make it down to this part. Because with anticipation, with the idea and concept of the power that comes with receiving through obedience and whatever it is that the Father wants us to hear, miracles begin to happen. Because while Kepha was still speaking these words, the set-apart spirit fell upon all those hearing the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Kepha, because the gift of the set-apart spirit had been poured out on the nations also. For they were hearing them, hearing with the intent to do, speaking with tongues and extolling Elohim, giving him all the honor and the glory. Then Kepha answered, is anyone able to forbid water that these should not be immersed who have received the set-apart spirit, even as also we? And he commanded them to be immersed in the name of Yeshua Messiah. Then they asked him to remain a few days. I pray that throughout this presentation, that there was something that really captivated and helped bring something to the light, or bring some type of encouragement, or at the very most, just be able to enjoy a Shabbat together and this fellowship over this beautiful word that he has for us. Because it's all him, and he deserves all the honor and the glory. And you know, even though I didn't have as much time as I would have liked to scrutinize the text, I still showed up, I still made myself available, and I'm thankful for it. Because imagine if I, because I've done it before in the past, if I would have removed myself out of position because I was too busy doing things, that circumstance would have been way different. I'd be speaking about the word in a different attire. Because if for any other reason I ever would end up there, I can't give up on him. Because there's instances where people do get wrongly convicted. But we have to always hold fast to him. Amen. I'm thankful for y'all. I believe our ears are dialed in. Got plenty of hearing going on. With that being said, I love y'all, and Shabbat Shalom.